Tonight's video, we have a story submission from a park ranger at the Yosemite National Park in Northern California, where he dives into the myths and legends of this national park that date back hundreds of years. Then he dives in the two personal, real encounters that he has witnessed while he's been a ranger at this national park, and what he describes to us tonight will shock you. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Dear Zach, I have been a ranger over in California for the past decade, in Northern California, over at the Yosemite National Park. Now, as you have mentioned before, Yosemite is one of the most beautiful places in the country. But on the flip side, there are creepy urban legends that haunt Yosemite National Park. Before I get into my own personal encounter, I want to describe some of the local legends that are amongst this park. Starting off, the waterfalls. It's an old ancient legend of the Awanee tribe. I guess a couple of their women were picking some berries at the top of the falls when a thick mist started swirling up around them. One of the women had moved a little bit too close. The wind shrieked and threw her into the rocky waters, disappearing and eventually dying. That chief of that tribe said that it was an evil spirit, a siren even, known as a Pocono, and forbid any of the people from wandering near its home, aka the waterfalls. There are waterfalls all over Yosemite, and they have claimed so many lives of hikers over the years. So if you're ever going to go out there, people, beware of the Pocono. Galen Clark is the very first park ranger over at Yosemite, and this is about a haunting over at Grouse Lake in Yosemite. In 1857, Galen had heard these cries, thinking it was some kind of dog in distress near this lake. And he actually questioned the local native tribe, and they told him just stay away. It was no dog and that he shouldn't go after it whenever he hears it. The tribe's people told him it's actually a spirit of a dead Indian boy who drowned in that lake. He calls out to anyone that could hear him and hopes to lure them to the lake so they could be dragged to their death. Also, Yosemite is home to the one and only Bigfoot. That's right, Sasquatch, Yeti, whatever you would like to call him, the Big Ape Man. There have been numerous accounts of sightings to blurry photographs and people just swearing up and down that they saw him or it attacked them or whatnot. Then let's not mention the connections over to the Tenaya Canyon. There have been so many unsolved disappearances at this canyon that this is one of the most mythological locations at Yosemite. This location is often referred to as the Bermuda Triangle of Yosemite National Park. Why? Look it up. Also, have you ever heard of the Fresno Nightcrawlers? Nightcrawlers, these cryptid creatures that are lurking in the woods. You could find many articles about them online. They are also here at Yosemite, supposedly. Then there are lots of reports of paranormal activity from campers witnessing apparitions between the hours of 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. Campers who had lost their own life, took their own life, swimming, drowned, whatever it may be, lost hikers. But the paranormal activity is very live here. Also, the mysterious disappearances of children. This is probably the most horrific topic out of every myth at Yosemite. There have been so many children who have gone missing here at Yosemite National Park. A lot of these kids often disappear when they trail off from their parents, maybe over at the huckleberry bushes. That is just one prime example. Or on a trail, or they hear something in the woods and disappear just for a moment when their parents are not paying attention, and they vanish. And when the children are found, they're always far away from where we had found clues, such as shoes or clothing. And a lot of times, when they are found, they are without any scrapes on their feet, which is totally unexplainable. How they find these children, missing shirts and clothing and shoes, to be not harmed with even a slightest scratch. That is bizarre in its own right. Now, my personal encounter is when I was at the fire watchtower. It was in the evening, sometime between the hours of 8 and 10 p.m. It was already dark outside, and I was alone for my shift. I was drinking my coffee, overlooking the surrounding area where I was watching. In the middle of nowhere, I saw this large black silhouette creature dart out in front of my watchtower. I can't give you a specific measurement of how close it was. It was far out. Maybe a good 50 yards away if I was to take a wild guess. This creature was running on all fours. The first thought, typically, I would think it was a black bear. But when this creature hopped on its back hind legs halfway through the open field and started running all the way bipedal the rest of the way until it broke through the other end of the tree line, that led me to believe it was no longer a bear. This was some other creature, a creature that was unknown to me. It did not look anything like the common myth of a Bigfoot, as Bigfoot does not run on all fours, at least not that I have ever heard about. The only other characteristic that I could make out was the fact that this creature, the way its legs bent from behind, it was canine-like, and the fact that its head had such a wolf-like shape to it with its snout. I didn't get a lot of time to examine this creature as it ran. It was very quick, and I only got a glimpse of it for maybe a few seconds. But what I saw terrifies me. And after doing some research and talking to some of the other park rangers, I am led to believe that I had witnessed a real-life dogman, a legend of a man-dog beast. As you could go on Google and look up the Michigan Dogman, there are a lot of stories and sighting accounts in the state of Michigan for this so-called dogman. I was unaware that this creature was in my state or even real at all until I saw it that night when I was standing watch. Now, I am still a park ranger at this location, so I will not refer to my name, nor my shift hours, or the dates of any of this just for privacy reasons. But I wanted to give my two cents and let you know that what you are doing is incredible, and I enjoy listening to your channel at night, when I am bored on my shift, just overlooking the vicinity, making sure that there's no fires or any crazy commotion that I could see. The only other occurrence that I think might be something worthwhile talking about is this one time that I was on my route. I was not in the fire watchtower for this particular event, but in fact, I was actually walking down one of the trails as we had gotten a report about some weird noises that sounded like someone screaming for help. Now, I was alone at the time. Now, this was something I thought was only going to take about 15 minutes, maybe 25 at max, as I was already close to this trail when I got the call. Once I had arrived at this trail, I started hearing the noises that had been reported to us. It was the sounds of someone crying for help. It was echoing all around the trail, but I could tell it was somewhere deep within the trail, farther in from where I currently was. I continued on this trail for a good 10-15 minutes, flashlight in hand as the sun had already set. I kept calling out to this scream, saying, "Where are you? Can you tell me your location?" And they keep speaking so I could follow your voice and track you down. As I responded to this scream, it seemed like the more that I responded to this screaming echo, the less it would scream back. So I ended up deciding not to respond and to just listen on my own and just walk in the direction I hear. Another 10 minutes had passed, and I probably heard the scream about 4 more times. Once I got to this clearing, there was a fork in the road where the trail split off into 2 different directions. This is where I was kind of in a pickle. Now, I didn't know if this scream was actually on the trail or off trail, hence why this person might be screaming for help because they might be lost. I didn't know which direction to even take on this fork. but when I heard the snappy noises on my right-hand side further off in the distance echoing in that direction, when I looked over and shone to my flashlight, that's when I saw this weird silhouette of this deer creature. Now I say deer creature because this thing was over 6 feet tall, and deers do not get that size. Unless this thing was standing on its back legs, there was no way in hell this was a deer. And if it was a deer, I never saw one on its back hind legs before, let alone the way its face looked. Its face looked very dirty, almost like parts of its fur were ripped off or had previously been decaying on its face, like it had some type of disease. But its antlers looked absolutely fine, but there was just something wrong with its face. It scared the shit out of me, I'm not gonna lie. Whether that was the voice that was screaming out to me, or if there was someone really in despair, at that moment, fight or flight kicked in and I was terrified. I whipped around and I ran down that trail as fast as I could, faster than I ever have in my life, until I got back to my vehicle, radioed everything back into the ranger station, and got the hell out of there. I know I kind of broke protocol by leaving the scene, knowing that a person may very well be outside and in despair. But at that point, after what I had just witnessed, I refused to ever go back on that trail in the night. And if I go during the day, I still won't go alone. I always will have to have some other ranger with me to accompany me. Those are the only two instances that I have personally had. But like I said earlier in this story, there are so many different myths and legends to the Yosemite National Park. Whether you choose to believe every single one or just certain ones that seem more plausible, that is completely up to you. I, for one, was not really a believer in most of them at the time, until what I had seen in the watchtower and what I had seen face to face when I was on this trail. Now I tend to believe in most, if not all, of these different myths that date back hundreds of years. I appreciate you reading this story, and if you choose to narrate this, please keep me anonymous. Have a good night. Dark presence following me in the woods, and a weird smell. I am posting this for my boyfriend who doesn't have a Reddit. Last weekend, we went up to a 2-mile hike in a small creek to fish in North Carolina. On his way up the mountain, he kept thinking that he saw things in his peripheral vision, looking backwards to see shadowy dark crags and rocks, or a shadow falling along the tree bark. The mountain air was crisp and refreshing, at the altitude of over 2,000 feet. Yet whenever he felt this weird presence, he described smelling something like a propane tank up in his nostrils, sulfur and damp stickiness. There was no explanation or reason to smell that in this place. He had visited many times before and never smelt this in the area. The whole way up, the unsettling feeling of being watched maintained, and he just kept chanting, "God is with me, I will fear no evil." He swore to me that he felt like something was following him all the way up, maybe too scared to get close, and that he now thought he knew what a demon smelled like. He made it to his fishing spot, and returning down the mountain, again saw this unmistakable shadowy movement out of the corner of his eye, blended back with the trees behind him. Has anyone ever been alone in the woods and smelt that same smell or felt any kind of presence like this? I know there are a lot of folklore around the Appalachian Mountains about haints and things of that sort. I think he wants to figure out what this place means and know if he is alone in this experience. The place was called Pathtown Creek. One of my old friends from summer camp said he saw a ghost in our cabin one night. Now I realize what he really saw that night. When I was a kid, I used to love going to summer camp every year. even if we wouldn't go with my school friends, I was still happy to make new ones. I had never been shy or socially awkward. I've always been popular, never cocky or rude though, like you may think. I tried my best to be nice to everyone. I always have. One summer, probably my second time at summer camp when I was 8, I was put in a cabin with kids that were super shy and reserved, who never spoke and just kept to themselves. The boy I shared a bunk with was about my age, and I tried to make conversation with him over the first week. I eventually found out his name was Norman. He seemed almost hesitant to talk to me over that week, but after he started speaking to me, I realized he was a great kid and funny too. He would never shut up when he was talking to me, and we did everything together. He was loud and crazy. Then, he just stopped. Out of nowhere, he just stopped talking, like he wouldn't speak to me or anyone else for that matter. I asked him, "Hey buddy, what's the matter?" And he would just shake his head and walk away. I was disappointed that I had lost my friend, but I thought that it's best not to dwell on it, and just try to make new friends. If he doesn't want to talk, who am I to force him? I got along pretty much fine without Norman, and things seemed to be going okay. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night, like around 4 in the morning. Unable to get myself back to sleep, I got up to grab some candy that I had hidden in my bag. It was dark, and I couldn't see anything properly. I thought they must have slipped to the bottom of the bag, and there was no point searching, so I just gave up. I turned around to see a figure sitting upright in Norman's bed. Startled, I jumped back in fear and took out my flashlight. I don't think I will ever forget the look on his face. His eyes were bloodshot, and he was hyperventilating. I climbed up onto his bed and asked him if he was all right. "I saw something. I see it every night. It won't leave me alone. It's going to kill me, Harry." My little sister would wake up crying most nights, but they were nightmares. So I hugged him and told him it was probably a dream and he'd be fine. This became a routine where he would wake up every night saying a person was in the cabin staring at him with the knife, and that they would get closer every night. He would usually wake us all up with his hysterical crying, and nobody in the cabin got a good night's rest. When camp was finally over, Norman left to go home, and nobody ever saw him back there again. I forgot about this story because it seemed stupid, and it was just about a troubled kid with nightmares. I wish I knew what was happening sooner. My husband is a huge fan of crime-related stuff. He watches a certain documentary with discusses of murderer from each time period, and the episode he was watching was about a 1980s killer. I was bored, so I sat down to watch it with him. When I saw a picture of a little boy, he was ginger and smiley. I recognized that face anywhere. It was Norman. The narrator went on to discuss how he first encountered this murderer at his summer camp, and it would come to him every night. A month after he left, he was found dead in his bedroom, stabbed. One of the camp leaders was sent to jail about 13 years later for stalking and murder.